Now, this is the kind of person that the Holy Spirit can rest upon. This is why the Holy Spirit rested upon Jesus and remained in the eyesight of John. So, this is who God is. And the Lord loves fail-safe. That's why he made priests. He got a priest to lead Israel out of Egypt. And not only a priest, but the meekest man on earth, which is Moses at that time. There was no man on earth more meek than Moses. And Moses passed tests. He passed the test of life. Instead of indulging in sin and the pleasures of sin for a season, he stood for something. See, this is the kind of person that God can, this is the heart of God. This man loved what was right. And he loved what was true. And he loved what was real. And he loved the things of God. And he was a priest. He was a Levite. So this answers David's question. You know, you see certain friends, they flock to certain, you know, members of the army. You know, that's how people do. So he asked, Lord, who will abide in your tabernacle? Who should dwell in thy holy hill? You know. Now, this is just my imagination of why David said this. Something inspired him to wonder, what kind of person does God hang out with? And he that walks uprightly, he that works righteousness, he that speaketh the truth in his heart. In his heart, not just his mind, not just for a show. This is the way he is, spirit and in truth. He that backbiteth not with his tongue, nor doeth evil to his neighbor. Nor take up reproach against his neighbor. This is the kind of person that the Lord wants around him. So, just like Kenneth Copeland, when the Lord told him what he said, he repented immediately. And you know, since I've been a Christian, God blessed him with a platform. He's on TV every day, all day. And it's been that way for years. You know, great spiritual wealth is on his life. Because I know people that listen to him more than me. And he's a man of high dedication and a man of integrity. From where I sit and from what I see, he is. Now, some people say, well, he wants an airplane. When, you know, it's kind of like some people in life, if you got spiritual wealth on your, Jesus put it this way, if you abide in me and my word abide in you, you can ask what you will. Do I want an airplane? No. You can't give me an airplane unless God need me to have one. I don't have any desire at all for a plane. But he's a pilot. And it doesn't matter what you have in this life. It's how you get it. It's what you do. It's how you get it. But when you're on TV every day, all day, blessing people all the time, and you know, I understand spiritual wealth. It gets on your life, and you can do some. Not only when spiritual wealth is on your life, things can happen. And this is just on the side. Things can happen that don't normally happen. So I thank God for people who labor for the kingdom of God, and people who sow and reap and sow and reap and bless, you know, go about doing good. And people get upset because people prosper. Guess what? We are prosperity. Bill Winston said something today. A drought can't stop the covenant of God. People who live the covenant of God no matter what happens in this earth. Daniel put it this way. They that do know the Lord will be strong and do exploits. When other people can't prosper, when they're worried and frustrated and you walk and talk with the Lord, God will show, expose to you the options that everybody really have, and you can walk in covenant authority. You can supersede the wiles of the devil and the ways of the world. It's not about how much you have. You know, to some people, I'm very wealthy. I got a nice car and a house. But I got brothers and sisters in Africa that may not even have shoes. And see, one of my goals for getting out of debt, I want to be able to contribute to people that just don't have. That's one of my goals. And I used to want to have a shop. But now, I want to spend more time with my family. And I stopped praying for a shop, and I my business is small, and I make money, but I can fix anything. I can fix trucks, cars, even motorcycles. But I still do the cars, but I want to get everything paid off so I can contribute to the kingdom of God more. Because, and I believe in what I'm doing, so I do these broadcasts to be a blessing to people. That, and see, if you know what to watch out for, everybody don't know and understand the wiles of the devil, and they get blindsided when people are immature. When if a person say something at the wrong time to the wrong person in the wrong spirit, it can derail things of God. It can cause people to get in strife. It can cause people to suffer setbacks. And right now, the lost, they're about to enter into a time of crisis. See, when the Lord moved the church out of the way, and he's about to do so, everybody left and don't go get raptured and don't get raptured, they're going to be in trouble. Now, I believe the rapture is going to come toward the end of it all. The rapture, people say, well, we got 7 years tribulation. We are in tribulation, folks. The church has been in tribulation all along. But the 7 years that Israel has to deal with, it could have already started. But the rapture is going to happen just before Jesus comes. The rapture will happen. Now, I agree with Pastor David Langston on this one. The rapture will come just before Jesus' return. It'll come just before the vow judgments. Because standing in this spot, the Lord told me, he said, I'm not moving you out of the path of the Antichrist. I'm moving you out of my way. Now, I was thinking about the Antichrist. He said, I'm not moving you out of his way. I'm moving you out of my way. In other words, he's going to move us out of his way. Because when he do the vow judgments, that's what's terrible. Everything else is the wrath of man or the wrath of Satan. And Satan is limited and man is limited. Because when the church pray, we can halt the things of the devil. That's why Paul said, when he that now letteth will let. Okay, Jesus said, what you bind on earth is bound in heaven. What you loose on earth, Peter, and the church, is loosed in heaven. He said it to Peter, but he also said it in verse 18 to anybody that loves him. When two or three of you gathered in my name, there am I in the midst. And what you bind on earth is bound in heaven. What you loose on earth is loosed in heaven. Again, in Luke chapter 10, behold, I give you power to tread on serpents, scorpions, and over all the power of the devil. Same thing in Mark chapter 16. He gave us his authority. He said, behold, in Matthew 28, I think, he said, I've been given all power in heaven and earth, and I've given you power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you. So, look, we need to operate in our authority. Now, I want to point something out since I said that. Sometimes people say, well, the he that letteth will let is the Holy Spirit. Well, the Holy Spirit don't qualify for that. Not until Adam's lease runs out, because the Holy Spirit can't restrain Satan by himself. It's the body of Christ, the people that's alive with breath in their lungs and blood in their veins, people with a human fleshly body, the Holy Spirit can move on them. And when they say it by faith, then Satan can be defeated. But the Lord's not going to do anything about the devil. We got to do it. So that he is a man of God that submit, that lives his life submitted to the things of God. And he's in faith. He's using his covenant authority and his faith to stop Satan. I do it. You do it. Anybody that love God can do it. And people that know the Lord will do it. But when they're taken, when we're taken out of the way, then the enemy can do what he want to do at his own will without restraint. So I want to share something. When this is a little aside again. The focus is on knowing God. But when the church is removed, I want you to understand that demon-possessed people will be on the rise. There'll be nothing to hold them back. The giants of old will return. There'll be nothing else to hold them back. You know, all the vile judgments are going to come, and it's going to be terrible, according to what's written in Revelation. But if you know God, you can stop all this. Sin has no strength. Guess what the strength of sin is? It's the law. When you decide of your own free will to break the law. Now, the law is the strength of your sin. Sin don't have strength of itself. It demoralizes. It does what Satan does. It seeks to kill, steal, destroy through deception, through misunderstanding, through unbelief. You know, and like Pastor Jackson said, unbelief stems from lack of knowledge, wrong knowledge, and rebellion against knowledge. So unbelief is a choice. Unbelief is, I said, Lord, what's your definition for unbelief? He said it's rejection. It's rejection of knowledge. Remember when Stephen was preaching in his discourse and dialogue, the people knew he was right, so they stopped their ears, then they stoned him. They were in unbelief. They rejected him. They knew he was right. And the words of Stephen pricked Paul's heart. That's why Jesus said, why do you kick against the pricks? He heard the dialogue of Stephen while he was holding the coats for murderers. And he came to repentance when he asked, he said, who are you, Lord? He was a changed man. He called Jesus Lord from his heart. So now, we need to know the Lord. As we know him, live what he stands for. Live what he stands for. Let your life be worship. And sometimes, as ministers and people that love people, you want to win souls so bad you can taste it. You don't know how. And you want to just be a voice in the crowd and tell people about Jesus, all your friends and family. And you really want to help people understand. And you wish you was on the radio or TV or somebody. You want to make a difference. Well, if you live according to God's word, you will. God will open doors for you. Sometimes you have to wait on the Lord to open some doors before you do it. You know, sometimes you just want to go, hey, everybody come here, listen. Jesus is Lord. But God will give you wisdom on how to do these things. He will strategic. God is strategic, folks. He knows people. And he knows how to minister to people. My dad knew how to fish. My dad was a bank fisherman. He fished on the side of the bank. And he could fish in any lake and come back home with some fish. And I don't know how he did it without a boat. But he knew what he was doing. He knew something I didn't know. Well, guess what? God knows how to win. So Jesus told Peter, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. See, the Lord can cause us to be covenant effective. That's another one. He can cause us to be covenant appropriate, covenant effective. and we'll have covenant laughter using covenant authority. You just got to yield to him and listen to him. I told a lot of people in my lifetime to follow God. And some people attempt to. Some people listen and hear me out. But most people go do something else. They do whatever's on their mind or however they're persuaded. But I'm going to tell you right now, the doctrinal, man's doctrine can't compare with covenant doctrine. See, Holy Ghost, the knowledge of the Holy Spirit, is covenant doctrine. It's better than religious doctrine. It's better than denominational doctrine. You can't float the boat that God is sailing with denominational doctrine. Because wherever there's a missing part, it's not going to hold water. It's not sealed. Doctrinal covenant doctrine is sealed. It's like a boat floating on rough waves. It can handle it. It can't be sunk. But religious doctrine that has holes in it can be sunk. You know, the reason I'm saying all these things, God wants to be known by his people, and he should be known by his people. When we know him, when we learn him, walk in his ways, we can learn who he is and how he operates. And come, you know, most of my prayer, I'm listening to the Lord. And when Jesus told Peter the truth. He said, follow me, I make you fishers of men. I follow God. I follow him. I take orders from him. I let the Lord tell. He called me to. I didn't call myself to the ministry. So I don't know what to do. If somebody asks you to come and work for them, you don't just go and show up and start doing stuff. You ask them, what do they want you to do? Well, I said, Lord, what kind of minister am I? What am I going to do? How am I going to do it? He said, follow me. And when I got called to the ministry, I heard about a guy. He took out a sheet of paper. He wrote down all. He tried to make a contract with God, which is, I understand that. He wrote down all the things he wanted God to do. And he wanted God to tell him everything he expected from him. And then he was going to sign the paper at the bottom. And this is when I broke my fast. I was fasting because I wanted to know what kind of minister I am before I tell Pastor Elder Lewis. So I went on a Daniel fast. No meats, no sweets till he tell me what kind of preacher I am. But when I heard these guys talking, Jim Run and Herb was on the radio talking. And the Lord said, take out a sheet of paper. So the same guy, he took out another sheet of paper. He moved the one aside that he had wrote his half of the contract. And the Lord said, now, take out a clean sheet of paper. He took out a clean sheet of paper. He said, now sign it. And then he signed it. He said, now I'll fill out the blanks. So that was the same thing the Lord told me the night he called me to the ministry. So I don't just do things that people want me to do or doctrinally what they want me to do or, you know, denominationally what they want me to do. I do what God give me to do first. Now, I help them do whatever I need to help them with. I like to help other ministries. I've been helping ministries along the way. You go up, Jesus went about doing good. But I make sure I do what he give me to do. And not only that, the things that I do was prophesied, not only by me. So this assignment, Heart to Heart, and the radio broadcast, and Living Letter Ministry, all of it came by the Holy Ghost. Every assignment that I do, God gave it to me. And he blesses it. I give it to God. I ask him to bless it. When he give me every assignment he give me, I ask him to bless it. First, I bless it. I pray God's blessing on it. That's how I bless it. And then I contend for it. And I pray for my family. I pray for the men. I pray for the work that I do. I protect it, I mean. I protect it with my covenant authority. And I pray to be covenant appropriate. And the Holy Spirit helps me do all these things. I love it. I just love it. God loves us all. As you get to know him, you're going to see some things he tell you to do. You'll wonder, why in the world did he say do that? What is he doing? You won't understand it for a while. Just keep doing it. And ask him. You can. It's all right. Ask him why he's doing it that way. He ain't going to tell you sometimes. But ask him anyway. And just keep doing it. Keep doing it. It's going to make sense. Whatever God gives you to do is just like what James said. The wisdom that's from above is first peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, without hypocrisy. You know, I'm going to read it because I sometimes leave stuff out when I try to just remember it. He said, "What the wisdom, this is James chapter 3, verse 17. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of good mercy, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness, don't forget this, is sown in peace of them that make peace. And the Holy Spirit will help you be like this, covenant appropriate." See, God is moving by his Spirit. And you want to be just like him. You want to operate just like he does. God loves us all. It's those that know God will be strong and do exploits. And being covenant appropriate is very important. And but because the enemy, he's opposite. Now, James also said this before he said that. He said, "Who is a wise man and dude with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom." Then he said this, "But if you have bitter envy and strife in your hearts, glory not, and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descends not from above, but is earthly, sensual, and devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work." So if you want to get rid of every evil work, get rid of the envy and strife. It's too deadly, and it's dangerous, and it limits what God can do. God can't use people that's like that. Even good godly men that have done great works in the past, if they get into envy and strife, it'll stand still. It'll be a blockade. You know, God can't use them. The Holy Spirit can't sanction envy, strife, and the confusion that follows. But he said, "But the wisdom that's from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace." So as we go forward with making peace, let us remember, knowing God is key. He will give you what to do. He will clue you in. He will give you wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. Counsel might. And then the fear of the Lord will keep you steady. Consider these things. I'm out of time, but the Lord is not. His return is imminently soon. Be ready. Be on board with him. Don't get left here. I believe you won't. But God is mightily moving by his Spirit. Stay in covenant authority. Live in victory. And be covenant appropriate. Always.